USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Parts of Texas are getting hammered with more rain as officials try to deal with flooding. Houston has been hard hit, and many people have been stranded.
I tried to open the door, and it wouldn't open. So I went for the windows, and then I got on the roof, and then they came over and helped me out.
That was Charity Cardenas, courtesy of KPRC-TV, who was rescued from her flooded car. And officials near Austin are still looking for 12 people whose house was lifted off its foundation by the floodwaters. Many other homes were destroyed there, according to San Marcos Fire Marshal Ken Bell.
I know Wimberley has multiple homes with no, they're down to the foundation. It's a pretty devastating scenario.
Outside of Dallas, a dam is on the verge of breaking and could flood about a dozen homes and local roadways. Rick Santorum is running for president again. The former Pennsylvania senator will make the announcement today in his hometown. This is USA Headline News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. Despite the persecution in China, the Christian faith continues to grow. Bob Fu is with the Christian ministry China Aid.
When the Communist Party took power in 1949, there were less than 1 million Christians at that time. You know, look, after 60 some years of ruthless communist brutality and persecution, Christianity was not diminished in any way, but had experienced maybe the greatest revival since the time of Adam.
In what many believe to be a desperate act by the communists, officials in Beijing have issued a warning that all religions in China must be independent of foreign influence to better adapt to Chinese society with a pledge of loyalty to the state. Citizens in China are forbidden to attend religious services with foreigners, while all missionary work is banned. The Communist Party in Beijing is officially atheist and has long been suspicious of all religions. For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clement.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
74 miles an hour, and maybe zero or possibly two of those hurricanes will grow to major strength.
The season officially begins next week. U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham says allowing the United Nations to decide the Israeli-Palestinian peace process is a mistake. He is visiting Israel ahead of an expected announcement on a run for the 2016 Republican presidential nomination next week. Troubles in eastern Ukraine continue. The Ukrainian government and rebel officials say 7 people have been killed over the last day of fighting between armed forces and separatists. Shelling diminished following a February ceasefire deal, but fighting has worsened in recent weeks. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair is stepping down from his post as the international community's Mideast envoy. A quartet that includes the U.S., the EU, Russia, and the UN had appointed Blair to the post in 2007 with the goal of helping develop the Palestinian economy and institutions, but Blair found himself fighting small battles with Israel. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline.
Did you hear?
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech, WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
I can't hear. Is it? Are we ready to talk? Did we do the preamble? Nikki got up there and
you
said,
did everything.
We did everything.
Mm-hmm. You're ready to go.
You, wait a minute. Pastor Tom, you were turned down the volume so we couldn't catch it. Is that true?
No, you're just getting older and your ears are gone.
That too is true. I mean, hey, not only getting older, I've done. 1-888-221-8990. That's the phone number to call. 1-888-221-8990. Toll free from anywhere. And this is the Team Martech Hour, and I happen to be Joe Martech. And for the only reason I got it named after me is I'm the only one that always shows up. Everybody else, you ever noticed that, Tom?
Yes.
Yes. What happened?
No.
10 or 12 years ago,
Vince over here,
you show up most
all the time. Yeah.
But the key is this: financial advisor, stockbroker, lots of licenses, lots of credentials, been in doing this for many, 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 many years, about 900 clients, basically here on the Treasure Coast, but in 13 other states. And years ago, it came to me not as a revelation, it came to me as pretty much easy logic that in order to be a credible professional, in order to help your clients, help people, you could not be the only person in the world helping them. So you have to align yourself with other professionals. So sometimes they leave out in the middle of the show and walk out on me, but that was a pun because...
I think his phone rang.
I think his phone rang. What happens is... You align yourself with other professionals to answer questions. And probably once a week, once every other week, probably once a week, I call Vince Rosino, CPA, because a client of mine will have a question that I do not know the answer to. And Vince, in his unbelievable expertise, only has 70,000 pages that he has to know blindly.
And they change almost daily.
And they constantly send you the updates, which is just more exciting.
Well, and I got to talk about the latest update.
Which was the latest one?
That over 104,000 taxpayers' records were hacked.
I heard that. It was on CNBC,
yes,
big time. And
yes,
they say there's another 100,000 that are partially hacked. So about two. What they did is basically whoever hacked into it got Social Security numbers.
They got the addresses, socials, you know, a personal tax.
Now, what
they got all the information to make somebody's life miserable.
They got all the information to do identity theft.
Okay, know? Now what are they going to do with that identity theft?
Well, we don't know yet what they're doing.
I'm talking about it's a tax return. If they get a hold of my tax return and it's got my social number on it.
Well, they can put an alert there. What they do is there's sometimes they can, like I had one this year where they wrote to the client and said, this is a security measure. Please verify to us that you just filed a tax return, blah, blah, blah.
It made it look like it's from the infernal.
It made it from the infernal.
Wow. Well, point is, and just because we're a bit jaded, only because we've been sharp stick in the eye 25 times so far, we get a little more cautious than, let's say, the average person might be because they don't go through this stuff every day. But we were talking earlier, Tom, about, you know, you got to just be real careful of what you expose yourself to and what information mm-hmm. you give. And somebody else said before, the Internal Revenue is never going to call you.
They do not call
no. you. They're going to send you a letter, and it would never ask for information that would verify who you are. They would then give you a phone number to call, and then the person you call would answer that they are the IRS, and that would be an official phone number, and then they're going to start asking you questions. But normally they don't get too deep in it. If you're in trouble, or if they want to talk to you, they make an appointment, and you got to go in and see them.
Right.
You know, with all this identity theft and these numbers that have been compromised, you know, there are a number of companies out there that provide a service where they say they keep your number, you know, your information secure. They alert you.
That's right.
There's a compromise. Is it worth having that kind of, you know, like, what is it, LifeLock? There's others out there, you know.
I personally, I
haven't
no.
subscribed to it yet.
No, I don't.
I'm not convinced yet that that's a good enough barrier, but I'm not knocking them. I just don't know enough about the service. I don't subscribe to it.
I know this. I've had my identity hacked twice with a credit card, and it was a gas station. Now, I called up, and they canceled my card, by the way, within an hour because I was at a gas station in Fort Pierce, and an hour later, there was 80 charges in Brooklyn, New York. So they added 3 and 11 together and figured out it pretty hard for me to get from Fort Pierce to
Brooklyn.
Yeah. That American Express called me, and they said, you know, did you just make a charge in Topeka, Kansas?
Right.
I said, I don't think so. I've never been there. Yeah. Okay. And they sent me a new card, canceled that.
Well, that's what happened.
And so most of the cards and things that I have that service already built into
them. I get an email from them. If I use my card and not present for the transaction, like I go online and use my American Express, they'll email me and say there's been a non-card transaction.
Right.
Then is this from you? And if it's not, they tell you to call.
I got a lecture when I went to Europe and using the card, and they sent me a flash on, well, I forget ever what it was, and said, are you there? Said, do us a favor. Don't do that again. When you're going to go to Europe, call us ahead of time so we have it on record. And it's you know.
We do that as a matter of course, my wife and I. When we travel overseas, call up all the cards and tell them, I'm going to be overseas. So if you see a transaction.
You know what happens? It's hard to be knowledgeable without spending a lot of time and a lot of these sharp sticks in the eyes. Some things you just don't think about. And I didn't. Hey, I was probably 20 years younger. Which doesn't make me any brighter, but just 20 years younger, I hadn't experienced this kind of identity theft at the time. It seemed like it was relatively new. But the credit card companies are the ones that are going to bite the bullet because they'll take the loss or the bank will take the loss, whereas you and I, as the consumer, most of these have protection.
That's if you are able to prove that it was an unauthorized purchase.
Well, and if it's only on a credit card, because it doesn't work for debit cards.
Well, it has worked on a debit card with me.
No, it's not supposed
to. With Seacoast Bank, it did. I just wasn't letting you know. But the point I'm trying to say is proving is not it. You challenge it right now. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to the vendor on the other end to come through and say it was legitimate. And then they may give you credit temporarily until you get it taken care of.
And the other unfortunate thing is that once you challenge it, that affects your credit rating.
Doesn't help. Point is... But still, it's better than having an illegal charge on there that you're paying. Mm-hmm. And you can also, here comes again, more and more sophistication. You can now challenge the credit report, which is another aggravation, and
it's
put
a whole
information.
Service industry has popped up with that.
Yeah, it's a whole number
of companies coming out now want to be able to help you clean up your credit report.
It goes on and on and on. Well, here's how this group started. As a financial advisor, I said, hey, I can't know all this stuff, so I need a CPA. And I also wanted to have local professionals that weren't new in business. Because even though you pass courses, even though you get a college education, even though you have credentials, that teaches you how to pass a test and become certified. That doesn't make you an expert in your field. Like, Vince is a forensic CPA. Makes him an expert witness as far as the court system. Well, you don't get that by going to school. It takes a period of time. You have to pass. You have to have credentials. You don't just automatically get that by passing a course. So Vince Rosino, CPA, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word, big word, big word, big word. Independent. Everybody that's lived in Florida for a long time has watched the debacle of homeowners insurance, where all of a sudden a company you might have been worth for 10 or 15 years non-renewed you or doubled your rate. Why? Because they all of a sudden decided they had too much exposure in any one given area, and you have been loyal to this company forever. In fact, speaking of Greg Fasula, attorney, you know, now here's something. He's an attorney, right? But everybody has their area of expertise. So he was saying to Dan, well, how can a company do that? I've never had a claim. Well, that's the easy logic. It isn't you specifically. It's everybody that lives in that zip code or in that region, and they're just saying automatically it's guilt by association. We need to get rid of X, Y, or Z of that thing.
And it happens after a hurricane when
big time.
90% of the people that are covered by that company suffer a loss.
Well, here's what happened. It was Hurricane Andrew, which is our biggest disaster, put literally somewhere around 10 or 11 companies out of business. But you know, the state paid every claim because in the state of Florida, once you're an admitted company, admitted and approved by the state of Florida to do business.
Or underwritten by the state.
Well, the state has a guarantee fund. We're not supposed to talk about it too loosely, but the bottom line is they become your partner, because there's no such thing as any one of us, meaning the consumer, being able to read and understand everything that goes on. So here's Dan as an independent insurance agent. Like Dan says, there are certain companies out there that are writing insurance that he does not have in his book of business. And I said, why? Here's a company. He said, well, what I look is at their reinsurance, meaning an insurance company will have another insurance company behind them because they don't have enough money to pay all the claims. So they pay a reinsurance company, which is some of the monsters in the whole world, that all they do is reinsure insurance company. He says, so I look at the level of their reinsurance, the level of their exposure. And he said, the one thing is my clients, if we have a disaster, my customers, Dan Warren's, will not be the last ones getting their claims paid. They're going to be at the head of the bus, not at the back of the bus. And he said, that's important to me because when the disaster hits, this customer, they need temporary money for housing. They may need clothing, all kinds of stuff, and they need an adjuster that's going to be there now, giving them advance money. Well, some companies are not real fast, and you in the meantime
we'll get to you
living in a tent,
living back or out of your car, waiting for that FEMA trailer to show that doesn't show for another month. Exactly. So literally having an independent with 35 years in business, and in my personal opinion, Dan ranks among the top 10%, and even maybe higher in my personal opinion, of the best independent insurance agents on the market. So when I started putting this group together 10, 12, 13 years ago, the critical thing to me was nobody knew in business. Why? Well, if you're going to make mistakes, usually you make them when you're young. If you slowly build your practice, your credibility gets bigger, and you are less and less likely to take any risk because 25, 30 years in business and you have a reputation that's good, and now you're going to do something stupid.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. What were we talking about? A relative of yours, shirt tail relative, that did something stupid after, and
years. That's right. It happens.
It happens.
But you'll still get people who expect you to bend the rules.
That's it.
Like, because it's not their license on the line.
Well, of course. Like Vince, my good buddy Vince, had me sign a piece of paper in blood.
I did. He thought because he was who he was, I'd let him get away with certain things.
You sign this, and I'm kidding about the blood thing, but what it amounts to is this. His rear end's on the line if he does a tax return because he's a CPA. It's not Joe Martek doing my own.
That's right.
I've got somebody that's a CPA backing up saying, hey, this is what was put down, and I've verified this kind of stuff. So if he can't verify it, sometimes he has to cover his butt.
It's a lot harder to earn credibility than to lose it.
Yes, isn't that the
absolutely
truth?
And if that's you lose it, you may never get it back.
That's absolutely true, Pastor. The other thing is, as I say, credibility, the reason why you're credible and the value of is that somebody else places their faith and trust in you
there
because
you
of that credibility.
Right, right.
That's right.
And therefore, in order to maintain it,
yep,
you've got to protect your client and yourself.
You've got to do what's right.
You got to do what's right.
So here became putting the group together. I wanted people that were not new in business, that all were here local. Like Dan's 35 years in business. Greg Fasula, attorney, even though he is a flaming liberal.
No! Teasing it.
He's not listening anyway.
Easy.
Okay, he's a moderate liberal, according to him. But he doesn't like the word liberal. Do you know any liberals that like the word liberal? Okay, yeah, he's searching too, so am I. But the thing is this, Greg is just a magnificent person. He's an attorney. I had to have an attorney as part of the group. Why? People ask me legal questions. I don't know the answer. Wills, trust. Today, part of the thing was dower rights.
Dower rights?
Have you heard of dower rights?
What is dower rights?
Oh, Lordy, this is good. So I said, Greg, he says, then I tell him at the beginning of the show, he says, Joe, you turkey. Why didn't you give me time to go look up all the statutes and stuff? Because it's like you with 70,000 pages.
Right.
It's not that
right.
Easy. Well, in Florida, let's say you're married and you die without a will, and or you die with a will, let's just say, but you leave everything not to your wife, to somebody else or your kids. Under Florida rules, dower rights allow the spouse to have certain rights no matter what.
Okay, up north they call that equitable distribution.
And that's what it's called now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, very good. See, and that's what Greg said. It's equitable distribution. Oh, the new words.
I didn't know. I never heard this dower rights.
Well, that's the old definition, which it from a derivative of dollar.
It guarantees the spouse.
It guarantees the spouse a percentage. As an example, and this was an example that we use from a legal standpoint. You're married, and it's not your first marriage, and you buy a house, and it's in your name only, not in her name. And you have a will, and you're going to leave that to the kids, okay? And you die. She has now, what's the word, Vince?
Equitable right. Rights of distribution.
She has equitable distribution. She has rights to live in that house until she dies.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a life estate.
Life estate. Mm-hmm. And then the house will be sold, and the kids will get the money, and that's all there is to it. But she has, under Florida statutes, Florida rules, according to Greg, that right. Well, there's other ones, too. As an example, I had a client. Actually, he was a lay minister working in the church and very, very active, he and the wife both. And they own multiple pieces of real estate. Multiple. All in his name. Never put in her name.
Really?
No good reason. And whoever did it didn't advise him. I mean, the guy was not a bad guy. He didn't do it. But it was a second marriage. Mm. His kids, her kids, a mess. Mm-hmm. She had a right to all of those pieces of real estate, but not all of them. Not all of them. He died intestate. Oh. So she had a right to every piece, but so did his kids. So now you want to talk about a mess?
Two-thirds, one-third, is that what they did?
It's basically she gets a third and the kids get the rest.
Kids get two-thirds.
Well, you know, those are the things that they need to sit down with an attorney and get worked out before that gets into a mess.
Oh.
And even when you have... marriages where you've got a man and he's got children from a first marriage.
Right.
He's getting married to a lady who has adult children.
Makes no difference, right?
They're getting married, and the adult children are thinking, well, my mother has a good size estate. She's going to marry this guy. And then if she dies, is he going to get it all?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, if she puts it in her will that way, that could very well happen. But if they sit down with a good counselor and get good counsel so that the children are taken care of, that the spouses can be taken care of, there's answers to these things.
You hit it. It's called good counsel. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, very often, let's say a parent is mad at this kid temporarily. Okay, cut them out for a while. But now, every once in a while, I had a system where they had three sons. One kid is a druggie, period, druggie. Okay, he's cut out. But he wasn't cut out totally. He was not allowed to have his share. It was being held by the successor trustee. And if the kid got his act together, he would get his share. Well, way before parents died, he did get his act together, and he was flat sober 10 years now. And so he's back into the system like nothing happened. But point is, when I tell everybody, you got to do it as if you drop dead right this minute. That's what you write down, and you get it done. So I kind of stir the pot about a will or a trust. I'll give you, we talk about all these different examples that come up, and none of this stuff, I think, is taught in school in these courses.
So, well, no, not per se, but I mean, if you take a specific training course on estate planning, you learn the concepts and you learn what's going on with those. But the point is with those sweetheart wills.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, the first to die, everything goes to the second, is problematic with Pastor was saying, if you've got children from another marriage. Because once the spouse gets a hold of the estate, then that spouse can do whatever he or she wants to do with the money.
Here was another one that I had. Client has an IRA worth a couple hundred thousand dollars. Never married. 20 years with the same woman. She's the beneficiary. And I said, look, you need to marry her. Why? I said, because you die, she inherits that, and she's going to have to pay all the tax at one time. 30% of $200,000 is only $60,000 gone right now. But if you're married, she can inherit that as a spouse, and it becomes her IRA, no tax, until she takes money out. So I know they got a marriage license. I keep pushing them if they're going to do it. You know, they procrastinate because it's only been 20 years. But the key thing is, there are some logical things that's my job to do, and also there's moral things, and we kind of push that envelope a bit too, what's right and what's wrong. And our job, I think, as I look at it, between Greg and you and me and Dan, is to stir the pot a little bit, get people thinking. I can't make decisions for anybody.
Because, you know,
a
wrong decision can cost you a lot of money, but it can also cost you family members, and it can cost you aggravation for years to come.
I'm doing a situation now, and you've been involved, where we have four siblings and a mother, and this is not looking good. And the key is this: a family can totally fall apart. Well, I'd rather see them fall apart before mom dies and get this air settled than wait until after, and then, then it really becomes a problem. And a lot of times people make decisions that are not solely based on the fact that they're being conniving or nasty. Sometimes they're making decisions on bad information or lack of information, lack of trust. You know, it's
if someone's mother or father remarries, do those children have any rights to their estate?
Of course.
If they remarry?
Yeah, let's say my mom remarries a fellow.
Right.
She has an estate.
Right.
I'm her grown adult child.
Right.
And when she dies, she puts in the will to leave everything to Mr. Love Bubbles.
Mr. Love Bubbles going to get it.
Yeah, Mr. Love Bubbles.
What rights do I have?
If she's got a will and she names the person.
You don't have any rights. Now,
that's my point.
Where a will can be contested because Mr. Love Bubbles had an attorney that lied.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that can happen?
Never heard of it. Not in America.
Not in America. So anyway, that the person goes in and you know, I have seen attorneys, and I respect them tremendously, when somebody comes in to do a will and a person is not competent to do the will, they said, I can't do it. So they go to another attorney who says, okay, I'll do it. And the person is not competent. So now, if I do a will, and
you're
talking
about the person who
is executing
the will is not competent.
Is not competent to do it.
I thought you meant the person themselves is not competent. That's another issue.
So the person that's physically doing the will, my will, last will and testament, if I'm not competent.
What if you're not competent? You're preparing, you want an attorney to prepare
your
will.
Are you talking to my ex-wife again?
Yes.
Okay.
All five of them. All come to the same conclusion.
Well, of course they did. But can you trust them?
No.
Okay, good. I feel better already. Point I'm trying to say is that the key to doing these things properly is to get with credible people that are only going to do things the right way. And it isn't just black and white, right and wrong. A lot of this is moral. A lot of this is what is, you know, I hate to
morally
say it.
Right.
I hate to say this, folks. You know what's going to happen? You're going to die. You tell me you can cheat, lie, and steal, and you're still saved, and you're going, uh-huh. I've had a pastor tell me, he says, okay, faith and faith alone. He says, but you know something? And that person may not really mean it.
well, you know, when you come to this blending of second marriages and estates and money, you know, people have a lot of reasons why they do the things. I had a man in a church that I pastored, and he had adult children that they were estranged. They weren't talking to him.
Right.
He married a second wife. When he went to his attorney, he was in sound mind. He was a good guy. Said, I want to leave everything to my second wife. She, you know, has been with me for a number of years. My children don't come to see me. They don't visit me. They don't talk to me. And then when he died, Helen got it all. And the sons, they threaten lawsuits.
Of course.
They threaten all kinds of things. And I had to be called into court to testify.
There you go.
I mean, it got ugly. And
that,
you know,
happens regularly.
It happens regularly. All the time. And so, you know, you need to have a will. Everybody needs to know about it. You know,
What happens. In my opinion, this is my opinion again, and you're going to do the same thing, Vince. Vince and I are going to sit here. Okay, you can go to Staples or Office Depot, and you can get a will package and go ahead and do it. The odds of that being contested are much, much, much stronger than if you go to an attorney and they cross the T's, dot the I's, do it according to Florida statute right now, got it notarized right there, witnessed properly. There's a whole bunch of credibility. And when you're called into court to testify because they're challenging a will, the biggest single challenge they've got was the person whose will this is competent to actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
So now it becomes people testifying, yeah, I knew them, I was their pastor, that came to church, I spent time with that person, in my opinion, Pastor Tom, saying, In my opinion, I believe that person was totally competent when they
did
it.
And not only that, but they want to know what was said. You know, he said, I don't want my children to get anything.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, he specifically said that, and this is why. Now, how that holds up, I don't know what the laws are about the rights of children to have things. It was sad that he said that. It was sad that the situation was the way it was. But, you know, a lot of this could have been resolved
ahead of time.
Ahead of time.
And it's very sad that it does happen after the fact. I had a real one time, in fact, lady had a trust, and she left about $1 million, and she had no children, and husband had died, and her sister was 1 foot on a banana peel, about the same as her, and she only had nieces and nephews, and these nieces and nephews really never talked to her, never saw anything, so she was going to leave everything to them. In her last year alive, she had been on dialysis and just was not happy being on dialysis. And she said, at the end of a year, if I'm not any better, which is pretty hard to believe, you get better on dialysis, she said, I'm going to quit it and I'm just going to leave. And she said to me, Joe, I'm not looking for permission. I'm just telling you. Now, I brought a pastor in from a local church and we counseled her. He did. Brought another person in that physically did a baptism. She, you'll like this. I said, what religion are you? She says, well, my dad said we were home Baptists. I said, what's that mean? She goes, we never went to church. We stayed home. I said, okay.
That's a new one for me.
That one, I liked it. It was kind of cute. Baptist. So anyway, in her last few weeks before she died, she decided to change that trust and add 10 people and subtract this and change the percentages. So I said, this is not a pretty picture. You know, this is not a pretty picture. I said, here's what we need to do. This is my opinion. I want to bring in a professional videographer, and they're going to interview you, and the attorney's going to be there and going to ask you questions, and you're going to have all this written down, and you're going to tell this person, you're not going to hand them anything to read. You're going to read it yourself. You're going to tell them exactly what you want, and then 1 week later, we're going to do exactly the same thing again. Exactly the same thing again. So by and by, she died. Relatives called to say, by the way, I'm a nephew. Do I get anything? I said, you know, I thought you might call. I'm going to send you a copy of these two videotapes and a copy of the trust. Of course, never heard from him again, which is fine because it was laid out crystal clear who was getting what and how much. Because it does happen. The key is, if you are doing the right thing for your client, you will go to extra steps to protect everybody. 1-888-221-8990. That's just because Vince Rizzino said, Joe, quit talking and tell them the phone number. He didn't say that, but he...
What are they going to use that phone number for?
1-888-221-8990. They're going to use it for...
Calling up and asking questions.
This is a talk show.
This is a talk show.
And if you have questions about the subjects that we're talking about today, you can call, ask any question.
Now, we've got two more members of the group we haven't talked about. Quickly, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. I'm telling you what, we have learned more about mortgages from this guy than anything. Just a quickie, just so people know, there are programs out that are 100% financing. You've got to qualify for them. You have to have credit. There's programs out with 3.5% down. There's all kinds of different mortgages available. It's not everything you read and hear in the newspapers or on TV. The thing we do with Mike is very simple. You want to get a mortgage or you want to talk about it, he'll find out in 10 minutes, run your credit report and find out what you qualify for so that you can work backwards, which leads us to Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, which is the hardest working person in real estate alive that I know. This is my opinion again. And also the most credible. I don't think you could pay that girl to lie. She's just going to tell you straight out the way the rules are, very simply. And she's only been doing this since 1980. And she's only 30. This is a miracle,
only
you know.
Only 30 years old. It's amazing. She, right out of the womb, she started with real estate.
It's been interesting. Stepped right out, got a real estate license, and here we go.
Well, you know, Mike gave some information that I thought was very interesting when he was here a few weeks ago about the reverse mortgages that are, you know, struggling in retirement, need a little extra income. If they have equity in their home, it might be an answer for them.
I had one just not recently. talked about a reverse mortgage, and I said, well, I'm not 100% expert on this, but based on what you're telling me, you wouldn't get any cash, but maybe you could pay off your mortgage and make no payments, so that $1,000 a month that you're paying now, you would no longer pay. That means you get to keep $1,000 a month that you were paying. Now, you still own your house. It's just that when you die or when you sell the house, you've got to pay off that mortgage. And when you finally leave that house, for whatever the reason might be, there's no recourse on you or anybody else to come pay. Let's say you owe more than a house is worth. There's no recourse. The reverse mortgage.
Only if you die.
It's got a federally insured.
Only if you die.
What?
If you die.
Well, if you die, there's no recourse. You're dead already.
Exactly. But so if you move, you sell that house.
You got to pay off the reverse mortgage.
You got to pay off the mortgage.
So let's just say you die.
But if you die, then your heirs don't have any responsibility to pay down that
mortgage. Unless the house is worth more than what's owed, then they can sell it.
They can sell it and pay it off the mortgage, and then the rest goes back to the estate.
Exactly. 1-888-221-8990.
The phones are quiet today.
Yeah.
You know, I had a call this week, and they were talking about that they had some properties that they wanted to go into business, and
Did that come from you?
Yeah.
I got a call just yesterday from this person down. She's down south someplace.
And she's trying to decide whether she needed to, you know, do an LLC or do some kind of thing.
I was able to help her and really refer to Greg because they needed some help on a trust. They needed to set up a trust. And I gave him my advice on the LLCs, and she seemed to be satisfied with that. And she may come back to me because I said, if you have any other questions, don't hesitate. Just call me up. So she said, thank you.
Well, we regularly, I may get a question to my end and might end up turning them over to Vince. In fact, we've had this one family that met with me, met with Vince, and they're not done. They may meet with Greg yet, because by the time all the dust settles to get this thing settled out, it's probably going to need three different people involved from our group.
Yeah.
And that's literally what we're doing. We're here to help people. We're here to give you the best advice we possibly can, and none of us charge to talk to you. So literally, if you hire us down the road, that so be it. But in the meantime, we'll help you as far as we can, and we've been very blessed. We've been able to help a lot of people, and it's just been a very gratifying thing to be on CNO. In spite of Pastor Tom causing us trouble. See, if I didn't pick on him, he wouldn't.
He'd think you didn't love him.
He'd think I didn't love him.
Right? He started calling me Pester Tom.
Pester Tom. Well, there's not many letters different, you know. P-E.
Huh? I love it. I love it.
Oh, besides Pastor
Tom. But anyway,
Tom's
the phone lines are open if you'd like to call. Again, the toll-free number from anywhere, 888-221-8990, and you do have a call there.
We do.
Yes. Why don't you go ahead and push that green button and take that
call?
Because
the green light's not on.
Well, press the call button there. There you go.
Here we go. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe. I have a Social Security question that I keep forgetting to ask whenever I'm with somebody.
Okay.
And I think you guys have covered this.
Okay.
I was married for 30 years and I got divorced.
30 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we got divorced. Now, my question is, when I go for retirement, am I still able to collect on his?
Here comes a question. Is he dead yet?
No. No, and I don't wish him dead.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say you might. Because, and I'm being a little facetious, but the bottom line is, all you have to do is be married to somebody for 10 years. So let's just make you, you trade men every 10 or 11 years. Pick whichever one has the best Social Security. If you can get rid of him, then you can take his Social Security. But as a...
And he must be collecting to get it.
And you got to make sure he's already collecting. And then you have a spousal benefit. Now, Vince, if he's still alive, can she get a spousal benefit?
As long as she's 60 years of old. Not if he's not collecting. He's collecting, yes, sir.
Okay, and he's alive.
And he's
not
alive.
Dead.
Well, he wouldn't be collecting if he was dead.
Oh, that minor little side effect. But doesn't
there are some that have tried that.
But doesn't she have to be at least 62 if he's alive?
It's 60.
It's 60 if he's alive.
62. That's correct.
Okay.
60.
So what
10 years and 60.
Okay, so you're married at least 10 years. He's collecting. You're at least 60. You can collect your spousal benefit, which very smart thing to do, because your benefit doesn't go away. your benefit kicks in at 62, and you don't need to take it yet. You can keep going until 66, even 70, and your benefit keeps going up. And when it becomes to your financial interest to take your benefit, that's when you would stop taking your ex-spouse's. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, literally...
Somebody told me that the rules changed since, you know, like, and that no longer applies.
I don't think so. Here's the best question. If you call Social Security and talk to them on the phone, first of all, they won't give you any information except what you ask. Second one is, you literally can make an appointment with Social Security rather than having to do it on the phone, and you can sit with a live person by appointment. Don't ever just walk in that door and sit there for 2 hours waiting. Make an appointment ahead of time. Give them the scenario, and if you have your list of questions ready, they will answer each one for you. And again, they're not going to give you unsolicited information. Advice. You've got to ask every single thing. So your questions are going to be, he's collecting. Can I collect? I'm 60 or over. And what if I wait until he dies? And if he doesn't die, how do I? No, you can't say that. That's the wrong one. But literally, you have all kinds of legal rights to that benefit.
But don't ask him for guidance or
no
advice.
Advice. That's You've got to ask the questions black and white. Here's the question and go. So what you might do is if you start making your list of questions, and you might call us back when you have your list together, and we'll help stir the pot a little bit when you're ready to do this, so you can get straight from the horse's mouth information by having... I do this very often with clients. I'll sit in the house with them and I'll say, hey, rather than hearing it from me, let's call up directly to the source of your problem, because I may know the questions better than you do, because we do it all the time. So anyway, we can help you with that, we'll help you. But the bottom line is, the first thing you should do is call Social Security, ask the question over the phone. Second, make up a list of them and go meet them. Sit down. They're very, very cooperative, but you want to make an appointment.
All right, Dan.
Thank you so much. Call anytime.
Take care, caller.
Thanks.
Bye.
If you ask a question of the Social Security agent and you say, is there any other way that I can file other than this?
Wrong question.
They won't answer that.
You've got to make specific. Specific example. They're not going to say, is there any other? There's probably 300 any others.
Well, that's what I know of.
So they're not going to give you the 300 answers. They're going to give you, okay, here's the scenario. What's your question? Question is, how do I collect on mine? You have to apply. Okay.
The obvious, but you can't the obvious ask question, him, should okay, I go this is early what or I not? Wanna, they're not going to tell
they're
you.
They're not going
to
give you.
And they're not going to tell you. If you asked, is there a better way for me they're not going to answer question.
No, they're not going to. You're going to be very specific. You know, it's called, hey, I'm 60 years old, and my ex-husband, who I was married to for 20 years, died. Okay. You now can collect a widow's benefit, even if you'd been married before and divorced again. You can, if you've been married three times, as long as it's 10 years or longer, pick the best benefit, but make sure they're all dead. then you can get it. Okay, what if he didn't die? It's back to the same question.
Is he collecting Social Security?
Is he collecting Social Security?
And be careful that you haven't remarried in the interim, because I had a case like that.
Yeah.
Where the woman remarried didn't tell Social Security. She was collecting a spousal benefit. And then she went down there to re-up her benefit, and they said, well, you didn't tell us you were married. You weren't entitled to all those higher benefits at that point. You were hooked to your new husband. So guess what? She had to pay it back, and it's going to be over the next 10 or 15 years. Her benefit was reduced practically in
all
half.
All it amounts to is this.
So be careful.
You've got to be an open book. You've got to ask the questions definitively and give them exactly what the scenario is.
Now, what if you have someone out there that they weren't divorced, and now he's 62, he filed for early Social Security.
Right.
Can his wife, that he's been married to for 20 years, get a spousal benefit?
Only if she's of age and she's got to be
60 years 60, old.
This divorce is the 60. We're talking about if you're just married.
No. Yeah.
If you're married, your spouse has to be of age to collect as well.
Yeah.
So if both of you are of age to collect and he is collecting, you can take either to apply for your half of his.
If a man who's 62 files for early Social Security,
and his wife
he's
is
got
62.
A 60-year-old wife that's divorced, uh-oh, she can get
Yeah, if they're divorced,
she gets a benefit.
Yes, she gets a benefit.
But if they're still married, she doesn't get a benefit.
So it may pay her to get rid of them, is what you're saying.
She doesn't.
Well, our government has a strange way of rewarding faithfulness, doesn't it?
Here's what the question is. When you ask Social Security, be very specific, and they're going to want to know exactly who this person was, date of birth, whatever it is, they're going to want to know all the information, which you should have. If you were married to him, you should know this stuff. So they will come back. They may not give you a definitive answer today, but they will get back to you with it. They're very cooperative, but again, they're not going to offer you advice. They're only going to answer questions, specific questions.
And one of the questions that I hear over and over when we talk about Social Security is, should I wait till full retirement age or should I take it early?
Your choice. Look at the benefit difference. Look at the dollar difference. Let's say you're dying of cancer and you're 62. Well, I'd probably start taking it now. I'm going to live a couple years. I'm in perfect health. I'm working. If I work, I can't make more than $15,000 a year, $15,500, whatever it is, Vince. And then I got to give back dollar for dollar. Every dollar over that, I may end up losing all of that benefit by taking it early.
It's two for one, Joe.
But if you're younger,
it's not dollar for dollar. It's two for one. And it's $2 over. Every $2 over, you give back one of your benefits.
But if you're dying of cancer, and even if you're not 62, you may qualify for disability.
You might.
Now
you got to apply for that. Now that's even more difficult.
It's more difficult to get that.
That's very difficult. And it might take you 2 years to get it. By then you might be dead. But point is, all of these questions, and there's so many of them, there's so many variables, you need to write them down and get your very specific facts so you know what the question is. And if you don't know the questions, you counsel with somebody like Vince or me or Greg, and we'll try to put you on the right path.
Another thing that I became aware of is about disability, Social Security disability. If you wait too long to file it, you may not get it.
There's all kinds of rules, but the bottom line is it's not an easy thing to get Social Security disability. Normally, it takes quite a good period of time, no matter how disabled you might be.
The time one figures out, well, maybe I should try to apply for this because I haven't worked for 15 years and I've not been able to work for 15 years.
Say, where you been?
What are you living on?
I know someone, they went into the Social Security. They said, look, I haven't worked for the last 8 years. I haven't been able to work and I just thought that maybe I should now come to apply. And they told them, well, you haven't worked for the last 8 years? No. Well, then you don't qualify.
Point is, anytime you have because a situation,
it's supposed to be replacing income because you don't have the ability to work.
How are you living for eight years?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the key is that you literally, first of all, they'd say, where have you been for 8 years? You're asking me now.
I've been living on my spouse's income.
Okay, well, why didn't you ask this question 8 years ago?
Didn't know.
Okay, well, you didn't know to ask. Okay, you're out.
Ignorance
is no excuse.
And that's why we're talking about it here today.
That's why I was talking.
There's a lot of people out there that you may be injured.
Yeah.
You're thinking, well, I'm going to go back to work. I don't think that I'll need this disability income.
The worst.
And you don't apply for it, and the next thing, 4 or 5 years goes by, and you say, well, I'm not going to work. I'm going to need to go apply for it, and you've waited too long.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
The key thing is when you have the question, ask somebody for advice. And you know, telephone works no matter where you are.
But a lot of people don't know to ask because they don't know
who or what.
They don't know
what they don't know. They're ignorant, Pastor, really.
Yeah.
That's what this show is about, to open up their eyes.
All we're trying to do is help people and teach people. You, what happens is you got a whole group of old people, even a couple of young that are not real young.
What are we talking about?
Not you and me. But anyway, lots of experience, tons of experience, and it's a storehouse of information waiting here to be used, and we're here to help anybody that needs help. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. Toll free.
The lines are open.
From any place. The lines are open. And by the way, thank you so much. If you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you can call the radio station at any time. Pastor Tom or Connie will take your name and number, and they'll have us give you a call if you don't want to talk on the radio, which I understand. You know, automatically people say, I got to talk to Joe Martek. You got to be kidding me. He'll pick on me, which is possible. Tom, you're not the only one that I pick on.
I've noticed.
Don't you remember that young lady that called in and she was talking about saving for retirement? And I said, okay, you're getting married? She goes, yep. Has he got a job? Yep. You got a job? Yep. Finally, I said to her, I said, well, dump him and marry me. I mean, you know, she was really a catch, you know.
Yeah, she had it going on.
She had it going on. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. Toll free from any place.
You know, a lot of people this tax season ended up paying a penalty because they didn't have health insurance. What's right on the horizon going forward?
Not getting better.
It doesn't get better. The penalties go up. Basically, the penalties will be double this year than they were last year.
Guess what? We got another phone call here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. My name's Trish. Just listening to your previous caller about the Social Security, and it made me think. My husband was previously married and more than 10 years.
Okay.
He's not yet collecting Social Security, but when he does, because I know this person, she will most likely try to claim against his. How does that affect his benefit?
Does not.
Doesn't. He doesn't affect
his full amount?
Nope. He gets his full. Yeah, the spousal benefits have nothing to do with the other spouse gets. So the key thing it does, it allows a person that was married over 10 years to collect a spousal benefit based on strictly that 10-year period. As long as you qualify by age and married for 10 years, they qualify for it. And it does not affect his benefit whatsoever. And let's just say you could get the same benefit. He could have been married to four different women for over 10 years, and all four can collect.
Okay. And it's so that's an interesting catch on Social Security as to why it might be running out with so much marriage and divorce.
And let me just tell you something. The Social Security,
Trust
Fund is an oxymoron. There is no such thing. And literally.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, what I'm trying to say is everybody get it while you can.
You know,
we've got a few years to go yet, but, you know, I just thought about that after hearing the last caller.
Yeah, so I understand.
He will still get his full amount, and does she get the same amount, or is it a percentage?
It's normally half of his benefit, or their own benefit, whichever's higher.
Literally, let's just say you're both 65, or 66 is full benefit now, and he gets his full benefit, and you go in and say, nope, I want my spousal benefit, not my own. And then you can take the spousal benefit until you say you're 70, and all of a sudden that benefit is higher, your own personal one, than the one you're collecting from your husband. Now you can get your own personal one. So you just have to look at it before you make the election the first time. What we're trying to advise people is know your facts before you make the election, because very often, once you make the election, they give you a very short time to change your mind and go back and start over again. So.
Now, when can a married couple get that spousal benefit? That how does that work for a married couple?
Well, that they're presently married, or
presently married.
Well, then the regular rules apply. You need to be 62 years of age. That's the earliest point that you can take the benefit, or and that's a reduced benefit by about 25%.
Can the spouse get a benefit at that time?
Sure, they can apply for their
but
own.
But she has to be. No, can she get a spousal benefit?
At 62.
She could apply for the spousal benefit. She could get her own at 62.
So you gotta, you just have to ask the questions.
You gotta ask what the benefit is of the husband's, and you look at half of that and compare it to your own and see which is higher.
It's not as easy even as we're saying today. So the thing is that as people get close, they should be writing these questions down and get ready to make this appointment to go physically go. Because remember I said before, they're not going to offer any advice. You're going to have to ask the questions and they'll give them to you. Hey, thank you so much for calling us and good luck.
Yes, good luck, caller.
Now, one other addition to that real quickly. He's younger than I am.
You know, I'm not holding that against you.
So you're a bit of a cougar. That's okay.
Okay, we don't mind cougars.
Yeah. Well, then he might be able to file for a spousal benefit.
He could file spousal benefit on you.
Exactly.
It'll work better for the other way around. But all right, thank you so much, gentlemen. I do enjoy your show.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
And that's true, because the spousal benefit is good for the husband or the wife.
They don't discriminate on it because of your male or female. That's sexist.
Spouse is spouse.
Yeah, that's the word. It's not male or female. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Well, for her benefit, it's for her benefit to keep him alive for a while. You know, so when you get that boy toy, she's got to, you know,
keep him alive,
you know, so she can collect full benefit, you know. And once she finds out when it is, then she can let him loose. I'm kidding. 1-888, no, or maybe not. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. Well, thank you, callers, for those questions. How much time we got, Tom?
Not much time. We've got about 4 minutes left.
Wait a minute. Where's our cards?
Yeah, well, they're over here. The flip cards.
You're supposed to have flip cards up telling us.
I do. I've got cards.
You got the 1 minute, the wrong one. You got to hold up the right one.
I got to get the right one. How about?
No, you told us it was four. Now it's five.
Like he's going off. He's in reverse.
It just changed.
You're losing credibility.
It just changed.
Oh, now we're down to three.
Went from five to four to three.
So, Vince, you sat through like an 8-hour class on
Social Security,
only to get more and more confused.
No, I wasn't confused, but I was just amazed at the complexity
of the Social Security options
available to you.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, I studied tax law for a long time, and this was difficult.
Let's see if we can get one more caller here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, my name is Cassandra, and I just have a question about spousal benefits for a person that was married, but the spouse divorced, and I was wondering, do you still qualify for the wife? Does she still qualify for benefits, whether he's dead or alive?
Okay, were you married more than 10 years?
35 years.
Oh, boy. So, yes, that's what you call firmly married. The answer is very definitely, yes. And if the spouse, the other one, your husband died, and you're 60 or over, you're entitled to a spousal benefit, and it's strictly a matter of getting a hold of Social Security, and they just have to prove that he's gone, and whether you're married or not, you qualify.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. 1-888-221-8990. We're out of time, but what happens is you can call the radio station. Pastor Tom or Connie will take your name and number, and they'll have us call you back. 1-888-221-8990. Anybody in our group is here to help you. Even Pastor Tom will help you.
Sometimes. Sometimes I don't know the answer.
You sound like an attorney.
But if I don't know the answer, I do know who has the answer.
Very good.
That's all you can do in life is find out
what the answers are. And there's many.
And I know the one that has the answer.
Very good. But he may not tell you immediately, but you can pray on it a bit.
That's right.
But in the meantime, you can come
to us.
You've
got 1 minute, Joe.
I got 1 minute? Hey, wait a minute. You said, yeah, you got 30 seconds up.
That's because I'm getting prepared.
You're getting prepared. Vince, any final words of wisdom?
No, actually, I caution everybody again, if you haven't filed your returns in a lot of years, do it.
By the way, if you don't file your tax return, and if you paid in withholding all this time,
get a refund.
You might still have money coming back, even though you didn't file. So it's a good thing to at least check. So you could call Vince, and Vince could counsel you over the phone, because we had one of that happen not too long ago.
And also check and make sure you filed a lot of previous returns, too.
Yeah, boy. Thank
you. Because if you file now and you got a refund, but you owed money from prior year, guess what?
Sometimes they don't want it, right?
They don't want to give it.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will be here same place, same time next week. And then June 20th, I'm leaving for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Hey.
What are we going to do then?
What are we going to do?
Pastor Tom will be in charge.
It's going to
be replays. Thank you again so much. We'll see you next week.
Yes.
The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-229-0114.
shoes and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City. Shoes.